is Tracy Melissa Wheaton, and I'm the Program Specialist and Technology Specialist for InSource. I'm here with Dawn McGrath, Director of Special Education and Special Programs and Leadership for the Kokomo Center Schools today, to discuss the topic of IEPs and more specifically, how to write an effective one. First off, what we want to talk about a little bit is just what an IEP is. What does IEP stand for, and what the purpose of it is?
Yeah, the IEP stands for Individualized Educational Program. And the program part is important. Sometimes people say that the P is plan, but it's not just a plan. The point of it is that you are developing a program for that individual. And where that becomes obvious is if you're sitting in a case conference and it starts out by being told where the student will go, that should be one of the last things that's determined. It's not a matter of putting the kid in a program. It's a matter of designing a program that's appropriate for that individual. And so the IEP process guides that conversation, and it provides all of the stakeholders with a very good understanding of what that program is going to look like so that there can be conversation and discussion around how to make it better if it's not functioning right.
How often are IEPs written? Is that something that just happens once, or is this something that happens annually? Or
an IEP is a living document, meaning that it can be changed at any time. It should be representative of the best thinking at that time. It should represent where the student is. So the law requires that you meet annually to review and revise an IEP, but that certainly isn't the extent of what can be done. For example, any time that a student is not making expected progress on an IEP, the way that it's articulated in the goal and the way that it's anticipated with benchmarks, the case conference committee is required to meet again and look at the program to see what isn't working. Parents should know that they have the right to request a case conference committee meeting basically when they feel that it's needed, not just once a year.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. What are the key components of an IEP?
If you think about it in a very broad sense, one of the first things that you want to do when you come into a case conference meeting is you should have a sense of your expectations for your child, because that should guide everything. From the expectations, we start by looking at the data, the existing present levels, and the needs that the child has. And there should be good pieces of data, particularly if the student's been in an IEP for years before this. And looking at that information, then the team thinks about, well, what are reasonable goals for this child to meet the expectations that we have for them. Goals are a major component because they drive the progress monitoring, and they help cycle back around the next time that everyone meets to see if everything's on track. Once the goals are determined, then we think about what services should be provided to support those goals. And then and only then should we think about where those services are best provided. And obviously they should be provided in a location where the services are richest, where they're most available, if that's possible. So that's part of the conversation around it. And basically, in summary, it's the needs and the present levels of the student, what goals we have, the services that we will put in place to achieve those goals, and the placement of the student. And everything else that's a part of the IEP, there are components of those major pieces.
Okay. Can you describe the crafting process of the IEP? What does it look like? I mean, is it written by the school? Is it written by the parent? Who's involved?
The professional obligation to create the IEP rests with the school, and it is acceptable for the school to prepare and think about what they're going to put into the IEP prior to the meeting. It's okay to have some things written up with the understanding that everything is a proposal for discussion by the case conference committee. The crafting of it, if you talk about what's actually decided on at the end, that is a product of the whole group, and it isn't until the parents are rightfully included that it really, you know, is considered a complete product. So most of the work is done by the teacher of record, typically, because the teacher of record is by law required to manage the case. For a student that has yet to have an IEP, when it's their very first time determining eligibility at an initial case conference, in that case, the psychologist may be heavily involved in the front end of it. And in fact, in our state law, in Indiana state law, we're required to provide for the parents kind of a preview of what the school is thinking, so that they have something, you know, to think about before they come in and have a better understanding of what they might want to talk about their first time.
So parents play an important role in helping to shape that IEP, and it sounds like the teacher of record then is responsible for writing it. What happens if in an IEP meeting there's disagreement on what's acceptable or appropriate?
Disagreement is a common feature to any important, courageous conversation. And so we shouldn't be afraid to have disagreement and to have conversation. Being both a parent and a teacher and an administrator, and having served at the state level as well, I understand that, you know, we all come to the table with different ideas, and we have different solutions for those ideas. We're responsible for particular things. But as a parent myself, and for all the other parents, your main objective is looking out for your child. You are the case manager from the beginning to the end, whereas school people may come and go. And so that will naturally set up some conflict, because, you know, school personnel have resources to manage and have, you know, programs to run. So understanding that it is acceptable and expected to, you know, have some different ideas when you come into a case conference, I think is real appropriate. And as a parent, to kind of relax about that and know that you know, that is acceptable. In the end, the way that the law is written, the school is responsible for creating that program. And with the exception of the initial case conference, where the parent can decide not to sign the case conference, and then they won't have an IEP, with the exception of that example, really the school puts together the final proposal, gives the parent a chance to accept it. 10 days is what's written in law. On the 11th day, the school can implement it if the parent hasn't taken action against it to show that they, you know, that they are going to act in a way because they don't agree with what's there. And the parents' options for action are, first, they can request to visit with an administrator in the school that has a higher position than those that were at the meeting. Secondly, they can request mediation. And thirdly, they can involve legal personnel and go to due process. But really, it is the school's responsibility to put together the program, and they can implement it without a signature unless the parents have taken one of those three actions.
Thank you for explaining that. And I like the idea of the parent as a case manager, because, in fact, that is what you are. I mean, you're advocating for your child, and who more than you would really know how your child is responding and whether or not, you know, is benefiting from the IEP that has been written. That's a great point.
Yeah, as a parent, you're the one that knows what he was like when he was a little guy, and you know what she was like when she had to try to change to a new school, and, you know, you're the one that understands really how we got to this point, and what's worked and what hasn't worked. And, you know, writing an IEP, you can't possibly be as effective as you can be if you don't have that parental input, and in a very committed way.
What are the hallmarks of an effective IEP? I've seen many IEPs as a program specialist with InSource. My own daughter has an IEP. What makes an effective IEP?
I think it's important that we realize that the IEP is a document. And really what's helping our children are the interactions with people. And as I went through the process, my son now is 19, so went through the whole school system, we had a very positive experience. And it wasn't because we had well-written IEPs. In fact, many times as I was doing presentations and teaching people about IEPs, I wouldn't use my son's because it wasn't necessarily a good good example. And, you know, I would write examples for people to see that, you know, really met a standard, you know, of quality. And the point that I'm saying here is that one of the first things to understand as a parent is that building that relationship is critical. And if you are getting the right services for your child, sometimes it doesn't matter if the IEP would get an A in a college course. You know, we can sometimes fight about the things that miss the point. And parents should be selective about the things that they're going to stand up for to make sure that those are the things that are most critical for the success of their child. So because I've graded IEPs for college courses and I've been working with my teachers to try to improve the quality of our IEPs, I think the key that I've been trying to emphasize is that the IEP represents the thought process and the rationale that it's captured the information that people need to do a good job, and that it gives us a very tangible way to measure if we're being successful, if our program is any good. And so probably the most important hallmark is the thing that we have the hardest time doing, and that's writing good goals.
So an effective IEP is one that really represents the contributions from all of the thinking and has captured the best ideas. It is more of a document that is evidence of a quality process.
Okay. And by capturing the process, you...
More than a document to be evaluated because just based on its written qualities. And in the end, that process should be based on really sound rationale that's been derived from consideration of all the information that's there. And there should be a documentation of that thought process. So when a parent looks at that and is considering, you know, due process, they really have to think, you know, if there's a sound argument here for the provision of services, then typically the, you know, in a legal situation, the finding will be in favor of the school. And so a quality IEP really captures that consensus around why we're doing this and what it is that's going to be provided that adequately meets the needs of the child.
Very good. And so the IEP, let us say it is completed and implemented, and several months go by, say maybe 6 months or so go by, and the parent feels like they're really not seeing the changes. Their child isn't really living up to expectations, or is maybe having some problems in school. What changes, if any, can be made to an existing IEP?
Well, legally, you can change anything in an IEP. And I would encourage parents, when there's a plan, to permit it to be executed so that you can see if it's working. Sometimes, you know, we're pretty impulsive about wanting to fix a problem immediately. You know, we care so much about our child that it's hard to let something have a chance. But other than that, really, you can go in and change. You can update the needs. In fact, those should be current. You can write new goals. You can change the services. You can change the placement. I mean, there's really nothing that can't be on the table for discussion. It should be a living document that represents the best thinking at the time.
That's wonderful. And as you indicated earlier in our discussion, changes can be made pretty much at any time. The parent feels like there may be a problem. All they need to do really is make a phone call to the teacher of record and let them know that the parent would like to sit down with the group, the case conference committee, and have a discussion, right, to see if anything needs to be changed.
That's right. And really, the conversation should be ongoing anyway. I mean, there should be a relationship, and in many cases, things happen more on the ground than at the table, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's the conversations that happen on a daily basis or a weekly basis, you know, with information that's going back and forth between the family and the school. You know, it's phone calls. But really, if the parents want to revisit the program, the way that the plan is written out, then yeah, at any time, they can request that.
And I've found, too, that the parents and the teachers that stay in communication with each other, either through email or phone calls or things of that nature typically have very few problems as compared to parents and teachers who aren't staying in contact with one another in between the meetings. I agree with you very much that just that constant contact is something that can't be replicated in an IEP. It can't, and an IEP cannot take the place of that. The IEP is there to represent a series of ideas and goals that need to be put in place, but small tweaks or discussions on how things are progressing really should be taking place on a more regular basis between the parent and the school.
Yeah, very well said. It's about the relationship, and it's about quality conversation, not just standing around, taking up time. It's about things that are real helpful and a relationship that's strong.
And I like that you've concluded that on such a high note there, because I think a lot of times people regard the relationship between the school and the parent as adversarial, necessarily adversarial, when it doesn't need to be like that way. It should be a partnership. And I think schools, for the most part, walk into this partnership really wanting to help the child. Clearly, it's in their best interest to do so. And I think sometimes parents are a little wary that schools may be dismissive or not willing or able to give their child what their child needs to be successful in school. And I think sometimes that's a misperception. Sure, there may be cases where that happens, but I would say that they are few and far between in reality.
Yeah, anytime that a discussion gets a little difficult, it's very helpful to refocus it. As you said, the whole reason that that we are all sitting around the table is for this child. And, if we keep that in mind and instead think of what we're bringing to the problem rather than, what we're defending, the solutions that we're bringing together, that will define the relationship.
Wonderful. And on that note, Dawn, I just want to thank you so much for being with us today to discuss the process of writing the IEP and what makes for a good one. It sounds to me like the kind of takeaway from this is the earnest relationship and between the parent and the school.
Yes. Thank you very much, Tracy.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.